Are rappers worth more dead than alive? And if so, is it really a coincidence? Today, we're answering a few uncomfortable questions. It's astonishing to see the long list of rappers who have passed away in recent years. I would read that list, but honestly, it's just way too long. Whereas the deaths of Tupac and Biggie scarred an entire generation of hip-hop fans, today's consumers are so used to seeing their heroes either gunned down or dying from substance abuse. And what takes place after a rapper's death is frighteningly consistent. And every time, the labels know that there's money to be made. Like the hip-hop vet Jim Jones said, "We have more rappers getting killed than we have weeks in a year. Every day they talk about a different rapper that just got shot, or was involved in a shooting, or something like that." Being a rapper in today's society is definitely the most dangerous job in the world. Considering how unsafe it is out there, you would think that record labels would be taking steps to save these young artists from prematurely passing. But some rappers believe this is exactly what they want, as when a rapper dies, their sales explode. Seriously, I can't believe I'm saying this, but as horrible as it sounds, there's tons of evidence to back this up.
But the truth of the matter when it comes to hip-hop, in my opinion, is like, we gotta stop pretending we care about these people and we care about these kids. This is a business. They want to use you and destroy you and get your money, and it's better for their business if you're dead. That's why they put out albums after you died. If they cared about you as an artist, they wouldn't do that.
Like Vince Staples suggested, their actions prove that they are indifferent towards whether you survive. Every time that a rapper dies, the streaming numbers of their existing catalogs boom. For example, after PnB Rock was tragically shot and killed in 2022, his numbers shot up 652%. His song Selfish also re-entered the charts at number 17, making it his first appearance on the charts in over 3 years. This track was also released by Atlantic Records, which is the same label that PnB Rock had been at odds with for years over an unfair deal. But still, even after he passed, they were making money from him, his music, and most importantly, his beloved fans. Similarly, when XXXTentacion and Pop Smoke lost their respective lives, their numbers were equally insane. For X, he broke Taylor Swift's one-day streaming record, while Pop Smoke's numbers rose by 400%. As the news of Juice WRLD's passing hit, sales rose by 487%, and for Mac Miller, that number was up to 970%. All of this is absurd when you consider how popular they already were to begin with. So you can see why it's so profitable for labels to have your favorite rappers killed. And this is only streaming. Think of all the unfinished projects that were released by the labels to make even more money. It just seems like a tasteless cash grab if they're releasing something the artist never got the chance to veto. Like they're using them for name recognition, which already kinda sucks, but exponentially more so when they're dead. Shockingly, 7 of the artists in the top 10 most streamed albums on Spotify are all dead. Horrifying as it may be, death in hip-hop sells, and unless you're King Von, Nipsey Hussle, or Young Dolph, who all famously refused to sign to major labels and held on to their masters, a lot of those profits aren't necessarily going to your grieving family members. When a label signs an artist, by nature, it is a financial transaction. For the most part, labels aren't necessarily there to provide guidance, but instead, they're there to promote you for their own ends. The only thing that an artist gets is money and fame, and that's if they survive. After all, most of the time, they've got your publishing rights and masters in exchange for giving you a massive audience, leaving you in debt to them until they recoup. So while it is undeniable that they want to protect their investment, that doesn't necessarily mean that their top priority is the person creating the output. The investment for them is the music and holding the copyright and licensing rights. But the industry's honesty about their view has never been clearer than what's known as the death clause, which is found in contracts that are signed by artists. Let's see how this works by taking a look at the one Kurt Cobain contract with Nirvana. According to the documents, it says that the company shall have the right to secure insurance equivalent to 10 times the estimated value of the artist's earnings from any source of revenue, solely for the company's benefit. In Cobain's case, where he, quote, shot himself, that amounted to several billion dollars. And yes, that's with a B. And if you didn't know, Kurt Cobain shot himself, with a shotgun, which is said to be physically impossible. He was also said to have been so high off heroin when he killed himself that he would have literally been too out of it to pull the trigger, let alone get the gun in his mouth, which further fuels the narrative that it could be the labels who are the ones putting out the hits on artists so they can secure the bag. To make matters worse, they also don't even need to consult the artist and can actively keep the information confidential if they wish. Speaking about his own past in dispute with other rappers, French Montana explored the prominence of these life insurance policies on Academics' Off the Record podcast.
And we was beefing for real, like people was like dying and this and that, and it was just like, it was blocking a lot of money. People didn't want to touch you, you know what I'm saying? You know, your rap friends, somebody gets shot, your rap friends stop picking up, the label stop picking up. Nah, it gets crazy, you know what I'm saying? It gets crazy. But now it's even crazier because they getting life insurance on artists. At least back then we didn't have that.
Is a label signing an artist in good faith if you're taking a life insurance out of them?
No, you're praying on his death. You're praying on making millions on his death.
Echoing what French said, Jadakiss is now calling out the negligence of the record industry's part in terms of keeping rappers safe.
Record labels are being successful off nonsense. Somebody went out, did something stupid, recorded a song about it, and was able to get a lot of streams, and that became a thing with the whole drill. And they actually going out, getting active and doing stuff, and then going to the studio and make a song about what they just did. And that should get nipped in the bud as soon as it got created. But nobody's going to these labels saying they wrong for this. We just blaming it on the kids. Putting out life insurance on these young kids now.
Wow.
The label. Because they're gambling on you to do some dumb so they can profit after you die. This is getting ridiculous.
But it's clear that labels do not care about their artists' lives. And a good example of this is the way that Warner Bros. Treated Waka Flocka Flame after he nearly lost his life in 2010. In my most recent video discussing Waka Flocka Flame, I highlighted his harrowing experience in 2020, when he was shot and robbed. This traumatic event landed him in the hospital for several months, during which he faced temporary memory loss. The gravity of the situation was such that he could have easily lost his life. At that point, Waka was at the height of his career, releasing chart-topping tracks like No Hands and Grove Street Party, and considering he was a prolific asset generating millions of dollars for his label Warner Bros. Record, you would assume that they would rally around him and extend support. However, per Waka's account, this expectation fell tragically short.
Nah, they don't think like that. No, when I got shot, my label ain't called me a guy named Todd Moskowitz. He ain't called me and said, yo, you okay? You know what I'm saying? That was Warner Brother. Guess what this man said? Yo, can you record? I'm like, what? From that day forward after I got shot, I never in my life trust labels.
As horrible as this was even back then, the money that was being made off Waka Flocka pales in comparison to how much hip-hop can generate today. Over time, the profits have grown so much that there are even conspiracy theories that Empire Records is killing off their artists to cash out these insurance policies after artists on their rosters such as MO3, Young Dolph, King Von, PNB Rock, and XXXTentacion have all passed away. And while we're not going to delve into that, what we do know is that with rappers getting younger and younger, there are definitely some issues that need to be resolved if labels and managers want to prove that they see rappers as anything more than cash cows. And a great example of this was the case with rapper Lil Peep. When Lil Peep died during his US tour from Xanax laced with fentanyl on November 15, 2017, it was shocking to see how everyone around him was used to him being completely out of it. During his IG stories at the time, Peep regularly popped pills on camera and no one looked to intervene. At the same time, Peep seemed to have been actively calling out for help and was struggling to deal with his anxiety. And in his final radio interview, he basically sounded like he was at a breaking point.
The same thing. Things have gotten worse, probably.
Because of the traveling and the touring and the pressure?
Yeah, things just get worse. The anxiety just gets worse and worse and worse every day.
Soon after, Peep would be dead at 21 years old. And once he passed, his mother, Lisa Womack, began to point out the inadequacies in terms of his management. First Access Entertainment treated him and eventually sued them for wrongful death. His label and media company, First Access, gave him pills frequently and encouraged him to do drugs to keep up the image. even though people wanted to slow down, knowing his use was affecting him negatively. Where the company's CEO, Sarah Stennett, previously told Rolling Stone that she had felt protective of him from day one, once the lawsuits began, she described their dealings as an arm's-length business arrangement. According to them, Lil Peep's contract with First Access was purely of a business nature, and not the type of special relationship giving rise to an independent duty of care for one's safety and or well-being. In response, Lisa claimed that they undertook the task of controlling and managing Peep's personal life, even accusing them of propping him on stage in a comatose state. According to Lisa, Peep, quote, expressed a desire not to perform, which was met with an instruction by his tour managers that he take an excessive amount of Xanax, so as to make himself sick, which would in turn trigger insurance coverage of cancellation. Basically, they wouldn't let him cancel the tour, even if it meant saving his life, unless they were going to get their fair share. Eventually, they settled out of court, but not before they made a massive profit from their share of Peep's streaming numbers and his posthumous albums. Peep had a rumored net worth of $300,000 at the time of his death. Since then, his estate is valued at over $7 million. Considering that Peep recorded at a prolific rate, they could have milked him for years to come if his mom didn't step in, and he's not the only one. Take Juice WRLD for example. According to reports that emerged after his incredibly tragic death, the Chi-Town artist had recorded over 2,000 unreleased songs during his very short lifetime. At some point, his ex-girlfriend, Ali Lottie, believed that he gave so much to the label in terms of that he ultimately became disposable to them as a person, and according to her, she actually tried to stop him.
I would literally sit on his lap every day and be like, don't go record. Since my mom was they don't need us, they don't need you anymore, you need so many songs that we're a liability being here.
Ultimately, music is a cold and calculating industry, so if a rapper forfeits control over their catalog and exploiting it would be profitable, that's exactly what they'll do. So if record companies aren't going to help, what can be done to change things? Well, it seems like it may have to be on the rappers themselves to overhaul the culture, place legal statutes in place, and look over each other. When I'm gone, please don't release any posthumous albums or songs with my name attached, reads the tattoo on the arm of Anderson .Paak. Those were just demos and never intended to be heard by the public. These days, more and more people are waking up to how a label will descend on a dead rapper's leftovers and feast on them till there's nothing left but scraps. As a result, some artists like Anderson .Paak and Tyler the Creator are taking steps to prevent this from happening to them.
Some of these are so good, I can't just let it sit on my hard drive, because I have in my will that if I die, they can't put no fucking post out. Yeah. Yeah.
But while this is all well and good, it doesn't overhaul the cause of the problem, and that is the premature deaths of rappers. Well, for one thing, there is some hopeful signs that the current generation are coming through the other side of the habits that were leading to addiction. After Peep died, a lot of people stopped partying every day, says Morgan Baden, his former producer under the name Wiccaphase Springs Eternal. The younger kids don't do stuff as much because they see all the shit that happened in the last few years. Similarly, other rappers who were shaken by the loss of Juice WRLD swore off certain substances, including Chippy Redd. Since then, he's spoken out to raise awareness of how dangerous things like sipping lean can be.
Don't do lean.
Please don't do lean, bro. That shit is liquid heroin. I stopped. I had went to my manager's house and stopped kicking at his house. And I got sick as fuck, bro. That shit crazy, bro. Like, I wouldn't wish that upon nobody, bro. Hell nah, you get addicted too quick to that shit. Fuck that shit.
In terms of the likes of Lil Durk, he's now seeking to make changes in places like Chicago that have claimed the lives of FBG Duck, King Von, and countless others. Many rappers are becoming uncomfortable with projects that are released after someone has died. Granted, these can be done right. Think of Mac Miller's posthumous album, Circle, for example. But when you look at a record like Pop Smoke's Faith, you can clearly see why people are beginning to sour on the concept. Even though he made history with the album when he became the first artist to posthumously debut his first two studio albums at number one on the Billboard 200, his second project was reviled both by those close to him and the fans. Pop Smoke would have never wanted this album, wrote one fan on Twitter. I like this music, but this album wasn't it. Labels always overdo anything for money. With producer Rico Beats claiming that if Pop was alive, he wouldn't have approved 90% of the stuff they put out, Hip Hop DX placed it in their most disappointing albums of 2021 list, declaring that even though the smoke will never clear, it's time to let Pop Smoke's legacy rest. But while there is plenty that hip hop itself can do, that doesn't mean that record companies should be let off the hook either.